I have been given a topic to discuss with you all, which I found personally to be quite interesting, and therefore I'd like to accept it as a topic for today. If you are watching on the Winamp player or listening on some other player, you will notice that the title of today's broadcast is Channeling or Just Listening. Now, the person who wrote me the text where I was given the idea of what would be a good topic for today was suggesting that I explain more about connecting in general, because connecting to the angels was a very interesting theme for him, and communicating in general. Now, I like this topic because after the discussions and the meditations about angels, I had very, very interesting feedback from many different people. It was amazing to me how some people got practically immediate results, and this was just very encouraging because I personally have had the same kind of experience. And I find that when there is such a positive experience that people have, it is very, very encouraging to me, because it feels like actually something's happening valuable for everybody out there. I find it incredibly valuable when people can find relationships and can find happiness in their lives. I think with the assistance of these entities who are so eager to assist you when you're ready for their help. So I'll just read to you the various questions of the topic which were given to me, because I find them to be very, very valuable for all of us. This person wants me to discuss the theme of contact again and how to learn to make these contacts and with whom one should communicate, and how to understand and discriminate between the levels of energy or the essences with whom communication is established. And another discussion point was whether it's absolutely necessary to aspire to a contact to anyone else except God. And most interesting is your personal experience of contact, and how have you developed the ability to dialogue in this way? And how do I personally feel when I contact different kinds of essences? I like the use of this word essences, as in spiritual essence, kind of cool. And that was the first time that I found I had this gift and how it developed. Now, usually I don't like too much talking about me or how I do anything, but I also got some other feedback. And that feedback was from somebody who said, I'm a bit too stiff, and I'm not being very personal with everybody, I'm being very rather official. So I thought, okay, maybe today I might share with all of you in a more kind of personal way, like a heart-to-heart thing. Well, the first reason I'm doing that is because I respect you all very much. And the second is I think you can get wonderful results because I think you're quite capable of doing it. This kind of a communication which takes place is a very interesting communication, because there are so many valuable things that one can learn and one can understand when one has communications with those who are more evolved than us. I find in my personal life that communication really boils down to the principle of listening. When you actually learn how to listen, you can actually open all the doors of communication. If you hear or review the lecture given previously in Moscow last November, which was called Understand, Understood, you will actually get a good indication of the value, of the power of simply being able to hear others, what they're saying. The whole principle of communicating with people is to, first of all, want to hear them. And the second principle is they have something they want you to hear. Now, this may seem on one level to be quite obvious, yet I feel what I have experienced in watching and observing how people communicate, that most people are not very eager to actually hear what someone else is saying to them. Often, they just wait until the other person stops talking so that they can talk also. They're just interested in talking at each other rather than talking with each other. To really have a connection with other people, you have to seriously want to know them. And to want to know them is to very deeply listen and empathize with them without judgment or any kind of twisting of what they're saying. That means to just open the ears and not think while they're talking. Just hear. Usually when people talk, your mind starts battling various things about what you would like to say or what they say makes you want to say. But when other people talk, their purpose is not really to say something to inspire you to say something to them. Their purpose is really to get you to hear or to experience what it is that they wish to express. And therefore, in almost, well, let's say a lot of, but not most of the communication that people have, there is not really a connection. The deep connection does not happen. Now, one may ask, well, what does this have to do with, like, channeling, for instance? What does this have to do with contacting higher forms of consciousness or beings? Well, in fact, it has everything to do with it. In fact, it's the essence, is the foundation upon which all communication takes place, either with regular people, or with higher beings, or even with the deity, with God. Many people have said, oh, I want to talk to the deities, I want to talk to God, but I can't, nothing happens there. Well, I doubt that is because either God doesn't want to talk to you or can't, because neither of those are true. That same principle is there for all beings all over the universe, any person, anywhere. The problem is that we really are not ready to hear. But when we are ready to hear, and they have something to say, it is a perfect union. Now, we're speaking a little bit about how I have come to the point of being able to do what I do. Now, I'm not so sure what you think I can do, but I know what I can, so I'll speak about that. When we first started doing the various meditations we were doing when we were doing them together in Russia, people used to come up to me and they said, how did you know when to do these things? How did you figure out what you were doing? Where did you get these from? And I admitted honestly that especially in the beginning when we were developing these meditations, I said that, well, I didn't really think of them, and I didn't really learn how to do them. I didn't learn them from anybody, well, not anybody that you could see. I just listened. I was told what to do and when to do it. And often, I would want to move forward to another step, and I would be told, just wait. So, I developed a great confidence that whoever it was who was leading these, developing these meditations and guiding me to guide the people who were doing them, really knew what they were doing. So I said, okay, you're in charge. I'm just here of service to you, and I'll just let these meditations flow in whatever way they are able to. There was a mutual interest. There were people who wanted to engage in meditation. There was I who wished to help them do it. And there were those who had meditations which wanted to manifest. So there was a cooperative effort to manifest it on this earthly plane. So because there was something that wanted to happen, because it would be beneficial for all concerned, my main task was to listen. Now, I use that example of meditation because it's the easiest one to explain. But it's a very valuable one because the same exact principle is there. For example, when you communicate with the deity, the principle depends on being aware of the necessity to open yourself and listen without interfering with your mind or with your desires, and to actually have some faith and believe that this is really happening, and not to condemn it and say, oh no, this is not happening, and therefore block it totally before it can even develop. I have tried throughout the years to get everybody to understand that if they hear something, then they should reply, yes, and listen. Listening is very important, because if somebody says something to you and you ignore them, why should they continue speaking to you? And if somebody wants to communicate with you,
yes,
and you listen to them and say, yes, and then listen again for what they'll reply, then they become very encouraged to communicate with you. So, the first stage is to simply hear what is being communicated to you, and to respect what you have heard, respect your capacity to hear, and to reply appropriately. Therefore, the key to this capacity is to listen. Now, I like listening has been one of the main themes of it, because so many people have come to me and they've told me their problems, and there have been so many problems that have to be solved practically, not only just psychologically or emotionally. So, in the position, one has to just listen very carefully to what people are saying, otherwise you can't give an appropriate response. So, listening is okay, but there's another factor which is important, which is stillness within. That one has to be still inside to hear, because otherwise the mind will bubble, and when the mind bubbles, you can't hear what other people are saying.
When one is going to be still inside, it's a meditative state. It's a state where you just calm down the thought process. Now, you can do that, of course, by meditating and relaxing, or even by doing breathing exercises alternatively on the nose with some kind of pranayama, to just calm down the mind to the stage where there is no bubbling in the mind. And when there's that stillness within, where the mind has stopped bubbling, and you just become aware of your surroundings, many things open up to you. For example, when you are trying to be aware, if the mind is distracting you, or some bodily pain is distracting you, or some situation is distracting you, you lose the capacity to be aware of what is going on around you. You lose the capacity to develop an attuning to higher things because you're so absorbed in what's happening right in front of you or what's happening in your head. Therefore, peace is required. Therefore, one has to be still. This is normal in any kind of a communication. You have to just put yourself in the state of awareness that amplifies your capacity to receive. Now, as you know, this is very much dependent on tuning. That means that your energy, your vibration, has to be in sync with the vibration of those who you wish to connect to. Now, this tuning of energy is a very subtle thing, yet it's something we do all the time and we're very familiar with. Salesmen do it all the time, teachers do it all the time, people who are in the media do it all the time. They just tune themselves to the interests of those who they are speaking with or presenting to. And when they have such a connection, they become very effective in what they're trying to do. So the way in which one tunes to these beings who are ready to give us information is to allow their energy to tune us, instead of us being simply an individualistic person who is blocking off or maintaining their individuality by not allowing anyone to touch them, become quite the opposite. Totally allow that energy to touch you and to attune you to it. Now, let's get back for a second to the topic of channeling itself. The simply channeling, which is a very specific form of tuning. I call it a very specific form because there are many forms of connecting or communicating with others. In the form of channeling, one so tunes to another that one allows the other to speak through them. There are those who simply give their body over to the service of whoever wishes to speak, and their body becomes an instrument or a tool through which that other entity can speak. This form is very difficult because, first of all, unless you are a certain kind of a person, it's very uncomfortable for you to do it. I have allowed myself to do that maybe 3-4 times, maybe 5 maximal, for the sake of particular persons who really needed it, but I was not at all happy with doing it. I don't like it because it enables, or you're giving somebody else facility to completely control the communication that takes place, whereas your intelligence does not filter it, your mind does not filter it, so you actually are not able to have an input into what's being expressed. And also, your body does not feel very good having others' energy within it, working it. It doesn't feel good, at least not to me. I mean, some people do it quite well. If that person's energy and your energy are somehow or another incompatible on the physical plane, your cells vibrate in distorted ways and you can become sick or you can have some various significant problems on a very deep level. So I don't like that. There's another form of channeling. Now, of course, there are some people who are so neutral in their own body and who have a particular person who they feel very comfortable with and is not incompatible with them, who can do that without difficulty. So therefore, I am not saying in any way there's something wrong with it or it's bad or whatever. It's up to the individual. We're just speaking about how I feel about these things. There's another form of such shared communications, which I use all the time and which is a lot easier for me and which I think anybody can do without difficulty. And that is to have the same connection. However, not to just be the instrument by which the sound vibration of another can manifest, but rather to hear what they are saying and repeat it. In essence, it's the same message being given, but there are certain differences which make it much more comfortable for me, for instance, or maybe for anyone else who has the same kind of a problem I do. You tune to the personalities by allowing them to tune to you, but you stop it at a certain level, which means you listen to what they say and you repeat what they say, which means you have the capacity to edit it, you have the capacity to disagree with it, you have the capacity not even to say it if you don't want. Yet at the same time, the essence of the message you are giving is there. Now, when you do that, you are basically doing something on the psychic platform by which you can take information that is not grossly manifested, but which is subtly manifested through the waves of the air. Sometimes when people do psychic things, they are listening to what others are telling them, and they are repeating that. So let's discuss who it is that they listen to. Some people listen to departed relatives or those souls who are on the other side who wish to communicate to the person in front of them. They are known as mediums. They listen to what these persons are telling. They repeat it. We have here a situation where somebody wants to hear and somebody wants to speak, and the person in between acts as the medium through which the communication can take place. So when you have this capacity to be a medium, you can do it with departed relatives, you can do it with angels, you can do it with the guides of these persons, or you can do it with your own guides. It is the capacity which opens up the way to communicate with any particular being who wishes to communicate with you or with another. Then there are those who don't just depend on what they get from someone else. They know how to tune in on the energy of that person that is in front of them, and they listen to the energy of the person. They listen to what the person is telling them directly without having to hear what they say in the ears. The amazing thing about people is that they communicate on many, many levels, not just the level of what is said through the mouth. The amazing thing about people is that they communicate on many, many levels, not just what is coming out of their mouth. Now, I have experience of in the 70s, in the 80s, when, or even later, of course, when going to Russia or Eastern Europe or other countries, even in the Arab countries, where I had no possible way to communicate with people because I didn't know their language, even in Europe. I didn't know their language, they didn't know mine. So somehow or another we were able to communicate by hands, by facial expressions, by nonverbal expressions, by feelings. Now I have an interesting experience. Now I'm living in a place where everybody speaks English. Yes, there is an enormous capacity for talking with each other. Yet when you just talk with each other like this, and it's very intellectual and it's very interesting and blah, blah, you don't really connect so well energetically. It's an interesting thing. Whereas previously, when living only in Europe or wherever, there was this very, it was developing, it was forcing me to develop the energetic connections and communications between people, the exchanges energetically between people, because the verbal exchange was not there. Now that is a very, very interesting thing, how communication actually takes place between people, because when you speak only with people in your own language, you don't think about it as clearly as when you can't do that. It's just like when you are blind. You know, your ears become very powerful because you can't see. So you can hear so well things that others wouldn't imagine hearing. It just depends on where your awareness is centered. So when you can't really communicate verbally, you start to see all the nonverbal forms of communication. You feel the energy very powerfully from another. You see the way they move, the way they act, how they relate with you nonverbally. And don't forget, they are in the same situation as you. They don't understand you as much as you don't understand them. Therefore, they are also in heightened awareness of their communication with you on another level. So you start to tune into them as energetic souls rather than people who talk. With talk, you can cheat people. You can say one thing, mean another. You can create all kinds of illusions. But with energy, that is very difficult, if not totally impossible. What you are is what you send. And when you start to understand, when your awareness becomes expanded to see people energetically, their energy speaks to you just as loudly as their words ever could. And often, people within are screaming to be heard. They're just afraid to say it. And you can hear that screaming within them, even though they would never admit that it's even there. And when you start reading off their energy, you can just sit in front of somebody and start telling them what they are telling you. Yet telling somebody something that they want to tell you, that's not very interesting for the person. Sometimes I've been to people who are mystical, and they start telling me about myself. And I always say, listen, I already know about me. I want to know about the stuff I don't know. But to understand the stuff that you don't know, you have to again connect to somebody who's going to tell you something about that particular person. When somebody's going to tell you about that particular person, you're going to get information which is very relevant to what they really need to know. That's why you contact their guides or your guides and you ask for help to take this, what you're getting from that person, and put it in a format which is most valuable for them. for this is the most important thing for them. And again, that comes from listening, by wishing to get help for this person, by having a sincere desire to get help for another person. You listen to somebody who's going to give you that suggestion. Well, as you know, I've been doing that somewhat, but you may not know how I started to do that. And I'd like to tell you, because it could help you do it too. I once went to one psychic lady. She was from England. And the first thing she said to me is, "Oh, I'm being told that you want to work with the spirit realm." And I was thinking, well, I didn't know that. And because I'm basically a curious person, I said, "Okay, well, what do we have to learn here? So tell me more about it." She said, "There's a way in which you can learn how to do that. It's called psychometry. It means that you take something that somebody has used only that person, but that only that person has used and no one else. Better metal, like a watch or a piece of jewelry or something like that. And cloth is also good. And you hold it in your hand like this and you just let your mind go blank and you just say whatever comes into your mind while you're holding it." She said, "Don't worry whether you're right or you're not right, because usually you will be right and later on people will understand that. So just start with your friends where there's no risk, kind of like for fun, and just start doing it and see what happens." So I didn't do it for like 2 weeks because I was nervous. I said, what if I do it wrong? I'm very much of a perfectionist. Whatever I do, I like to do it right. I can't stand doing things mediocre. So I didn't want to do it. I was afraid. And one of the problems with being a perfectionist is that you can never do anything perfectly, so therefore you're always frustrated. But anyway, one of our friends came to visit us. So it was a girl, so she sat down at the table. I said, "Well, look, I learned how to do this, and I'm going to experiment, and you're my first experiment. You want to experiment with me?" She said, "Sure, why not?" So then I took her watch, and I held it, and I started speaking. And it was just images that came to my mind. And then she said, "Yes, that was something I used to do in my childhood. And yes, that's something I'm very interested in." And I was like, "Oh my goodness." Now, this was nothing very important. These were not like revelations. These were just like images that were coming to me from holding the item of that person. Just some image this way, some image that way. And I just repeated whatever came to me without editing them, without saying, "No, that couldn't be so." Because the lady told me, just believe everything that comes and just repeat it and see what happens. So that was the first time. And then I did it 5 other times with friends of ours in Sweden. And each time it was getting better and better. And she told me, after a while, you won't need to hold anything. You'll be able to tune directly to the person and do it as if you were holding something of them, but rather you would be holding the whole person psychically. In other words, this was a risk-free, easy way to start connecting with people. And by holding these things of the people, at one point you realize, wait a minute, all I'm really doing is feeling their energy. And I can also do it by just feeling their energy. It's the same. After all, what they put into the watch is what comes out of them. So I can just feel them. So I started using my hands. And then I stopped even using my hands and just accepted their energy. If you think about it, these various stages are ways in which you understand that you are safe. And I'll explain that. Usually we don't want to connect with others out of fear. So when you're just holding their watch, for instance, there's nothing to be afraid of. You can always drop it. You can always just forget about it. It's just something in your hand. It's not something you're going to keep. It's not really connected to you. So it's really nothing to be afraid of. There's no threat there. Even if you use your hands, you can always drop your hands. You can always shake your hands. You can always walk away. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's not you. It's your hands. You're safe. And even if you just accept their energy, You're still safe because you can always get up and walk away. You can always say no and block their energy. You can always stop. And then you lose your fear like that. And then you start to realize that, wait a minute, this really can help people. This really can do something good for people. Therefore, I don't mind doing that. So in this way, one can learn to listen to people's energy and to take help from people's guides or your own guides by just listening to them. And you just become a research scientist. You become a research scientist. Your business is just to research this person, to figure them out, to be like a detective, to uncover hidden things, to help them help themselves. And you can realize, hey, this is a lot of fun. Now, in this question that the person gave to me for developing the concept, there's something which everybody asks about. How do I know if what I connect to, let's say these beings up there, are good or bad or negative or evil or whatever? That's the main fear. Am I going to connect to the dark side of the force? Because everybody's very afraid of connecting to the dark side of the force, that evil beings will take us over and carry us away to demoniac regions. Now, of course, there may be some truth to the fear. There may be some real, a good reason to have such a fear. But when you just know a few things, there's no reason to fear. For example, let's say you come in contact with another person and you don't like sports at all. You're not a sports person, but they're talking all the time about, for example, racing horses and gambling and how good the cigars were and what a great whiskey they had the other night. You're not going to be very interested in them. There are people you are interested in. There are people you are not interested in. There's people who you like to be around. There's people you don't like to be around. There's people you can communicate with. There's people you can't communicate with. This is normal and you know it. You don't go into the regions of where these people are who live totally different lives than you because you don't want to go there. You don't place yourselves in such situations because you don't want to. Similarly, if you are aware and you can feel energy, if somebody has that kind of energy in these higher realms, you immediately say, no, I don't like that. Oh, go away. You can feel at which point that negative energy comes, and then you can just push it away. You can burn it up. This is one of the visualizations you can do that's so valuable. You can, when there's a negative energy, you create fire, etheric fire, and you burn it away. You burn it up. You push it away etherically. You create an etheric shield. You just push it away by your visualization. You don't want it. If you can, for example, bring down good energy into your body, for the same reason, how would you know that energy is not good? Maybe, for instance, you could be bringing down bad energy. Why don't you bring down bad energy? Why is it you only bring down good energy? The answer is because you are good and you're bringing down energy which is compatible with you. And the reason is because when you get into these states, you are so relaxed. You are so in contact with yourself, with your essence, that you draw to your essence that which is of the same energy. It's a natural thing on that platform. In a similar way, when you wish to contact beings of a higher nature, you go into that state where you are yourself, you are aware, you are in consciousness of your essence. It just means to be aware of what your energy is. You will contact those who are similar to you, those who vibrate similarly, because it all happens on vibration. The whole communication is vibration. The same vibration that you are is what you connect to. And your awareness is a field of vibration that is just emanating around you, which attracts that similar vibration throughout the universe. And you bring to you exactly what you are, the vibration that you are. So if you are bringing negative energy to you, that's what you are. And you are bringing that which you wish to have according to your desires. You are creating your reality through your vibrational energy, the way in which you communicate, the way in which you desire to have contact. And therefore, you have nothing to fear, because the only thing you would have to fear would be yourself. Now, some people have contact with their negative sides, their dark sides, the unresolved traumas within them, which distort their spiritual energy. And because of that, they're very afraid. But what they're really afraid of is how that energy is vibrating within them. It's their darkness they have never dealt with. So it's important that we are aware of what's there within us so that we can put light in those dark places and find out that it's not so ferociously horrible after all. And anyone who has done some spiritual practice for some time can easily deal with that situation when they face it. Because every, let's say, therapist has to perform therapy on the self first in order to help others. So all of these gifts, so to speak, are simply an acknowledgement of the consciousness that we have and being aware of it without fear. This is a very, very easy process, but one has to simply know how to do it. And I think in this discussion, I have managed to give the essential elements by which anybody can develop these capacities to a very high degree. But there's one more ingredient we have not discussed in detail, and that is the desire of these entities to work with you if you're going to do this for others. Because sometimes people have this capacity to communicate, they have this awareness, yet they have darkness within them, they have unresolved issues within them, they have fears within them, and they filter this, what they do, this, they filter their communication through that not very developed area of them and distort it when it comes to others. So these entities see that, they understand that, and therefore they block off the communication before they will be responsible for the distortions being given to others. They up there, up as in wherever it is, they block the communication so that they are not responsible for the distortions that you, for instance, would be giving to others through your negativity. So it is very important that if you're going to do this, that you do not distort the message, because otherwise you will lose the connection. Now, how would this work in connection with the deities? Because this is the really the ultimate and final topic to speak about. Well, when we do this three-stage meditation with the deities, which is the connecting with the deities, tuning to the deities, we are doing all of the steps required to have a full and open and honest and equal communication with the deities. And this communication is not dependent on power. And in fact, if power becomes an issue, you lose the capacity to communicate. It's something born of love and the desire to communicate and connect. When you accept the energy of the deity, you just stand before the deity, accept their energy totally. You're just accepting that energy. You are tuning yourself to their energy by just accepting their energy and allowing yourself to realize the compatibility between their energy and yours. Many are afraid of this because they feel that they are so bad because they have done bad things, thought bad things, or they are bad by nature, whatever. Therefore, they cannot understand the similarity between their energy and the energy of God. Yet the same people will tell others they're part of God, they're qualitatively one. Yet when it comes to actually feeling that, they go, oh no, that's not possible. We are not qualitatively one. God is that wonderful energy. I'm the bad energy. So we're not one. The only way to become one in that energy is to purify myself completely. Then and only then can I accept the energy of God. Lord Chaitanya just went around all over South India or wherever he went, all over. He just embraced somebody and they became immediately totally connected with him, purely spiritual, with all that love and everything. There was no consideration. Oh, first you have to purify yourself. The same possibility is available today by just accepting the energy. The energy is there. Just go before the deity and accept it fully. Accept it, and it will work. Just accept that energy and you will be flooded with that energy. You will connect with that energy because it is your energy too. You just have to remember it. And you remember it by feeling it. And in that state, you can offer your energy back of love. You offer your energy to the deities in love and to Lord Chaitanya in love. And then you could accept it and give it at the same time in a perfect reciprocation to create that usness, that unit of love, that unity which comes when the lover and beloved become one in their love. Their interests are one because they are giving their love and receiving that love in a perfect mixture, a merging of souls. They don't lose their identity, but they manifest their identity in its reality as that pure spiritual being, part of the Supreme. The Supreme sees this part again connecting in pure love. This accepting is the highest form of listening, except it's not just done with the ears or done with words in the mind. It's accepting everything of the person, all the energy, all the spiritual essential energy which includes all these other things. And in such a state, one can be of such service in this world as is desired by the Supreme. So I hope I have dealt with this topic as completely as was possible. There is probably more to speak about. There are probably more details to give and certainly techniques that you can find out in many places. But these are the essential principles that you need to have to move forward in this way of communication.